Our Father who art in heaven. That is our text for this morning. In one of his books, William Hume tells of a young Christian named Bud who asked, "How can I feel close to God? God seems a million miles away sometimes. I've always been taught that God loves us, but I don't feel I have any right to his love." Bud had been going to church and Sunday school for as long as he could remember, but he realized something was lacking in his spiritual life. He so often was putting himself first, before others, making him jealous, angry at people, feeling soiled and unworthy to talk to God. He said that his sister was disgusted with him because, she said, she didn't know why he kept on going to church if he couldn't be Christian enough to have a good disposition in his own home. And he said, "I'm as disgusted with myself as she is, and I don't know how God can feel any differently about me." Bud knew that guilt is a barrier between us and God, and it needs to be removed by asking for forgiveness. But, he said, that too was a problem, barrier to God. After all, he said, "Am I asking God's forgiveness because I'm really sorry, or do I do it to feel good?" In other words, said Dr. Hume, is there a self-centered reason behind it? That's it, said Bud. And it seems to me that this self-centered reason is pretty hard to get rid of. Like trying to crawl out of your own skin, said Dr. Hume. Dr. Hume was doing what counselors do, letting Bud talk and speaking his own thoughts back to him to help him think it through. But he also knew what Bud needed to hear. And he said it to him. It was something like this. God knows that we do things of which we are ashamed, but he loves us just the same. He hates to have us separated from him. He's like a loving father who would rather suffer for his child than have his child suffer. He wants to remove the barrier of guilt. So in Jesus Christ, he became one of us to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to reconcile the world unto himself. He lived the perfect life for us. He suffered the demands of justice for us. When he said, "It is finished," the barrier between us and God was removed, and there's nothing now between God and you but pure love. You may feel undeserving of such love, and that's why the gift and the peace is called grace. It's not a matter of deserving it or earning it, but of appreciating it. If you feel uneasy in being accepted so easily, that's your pride coming out again, Bud. You still want to deserve it. The very act of receiving God's love is a humbling experience. It's also the way in which you grow close to God. Appreciation is gratitude, and nothing warms the heart like gratitude. God is not the one who is distant. Actually, it's your own attitude toward yourself, Bud, that makes you distant from God. Let God accept you. God is your father, and you are his child. Luther's explanation says that this is the relationship within which Christian prayer lives and thrives. God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true father and that we are his true children, so that we may ask him as dear children ask their dear father. We are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The heavenly Father has loved us and sent his only begotten Son so that we might be his accepted sons and daughters for the sake of his beloved Son. And we are aware of his love
for we can be aware of it in all the prayers that we bring before Him. And this truth belongs to the core meaning of Advent. God came to us in the flesh that we might come to Him in faith and prayer. Boldness and confidence come from knowing that our Heavenly Father loves us and invites us to lay out all of our needs and our concerns before Him and wants to help and bless us. We may cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Furthermore, He has unlimited capacity for blessing us in answer to prayer. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for His grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. But bold confidence in prayer is not the same thing as the expectation that all requests will always be granted, or the falsely grounded exuberance that turns into atheism or unbelief if one prays long and hard for certain specific things and does not receive them. All of us who are parents have often said no to our children, not, I hope, because we hated them, but because we loved them and knew what would not be good for them or for us. Prayer is not a blank check that God will always sign, in which we can write anything that we think would be good to have. Oswald Hoffman warned against thinking this way. He said, "To think of God as a divine grab bag is to make of prayer a free-for-all. Our Heavenly Father cares more for us, whom He redeemed with the blood of His dear Son, than to give us that bountiful hell in which everyone can have what his little wayward heart desires. He thinks too much of us to deal with us in that way. He desires us to think too much of Him to become victims of our own selfish concerns." So far, Ozzie. In His omniscience and wisdom, our Heavenly Father knows what is best for our material welfare or for our spiritual growth and character. And He knows that sometimes what's good is that we be without certain things that we might think we should have. When I was a seminary student, we had a professor here who knew a man that prayed to the devil. And he had received everything he had asked for. Now, I suppose that the Father who is in hell can do that. But we can be sure that He is not in the least concerned about the best interests of the person to whom He gives everything that He asks for. By getting all of this, everything, the person does not get happiness, but gets deeper and deeper into sin and trouble. And the end of it can only be spiritual disaster. Our Heavenly Father knows what is best for us, whether suffering in holiness rather than success in a sinful endeavor, or experiences in sickness that we would not have in good health, or trials and refreshments of soul that we would rather avoid, or whatever it may be, we should pray, "Lord, this is the best I know of to pray for, and I do ask for it, if it be Your will. But if You have something for me that is better, then give me that instead." Many a no is given to specific requests of prayer, but there's a deeper, loving yes to every prayer. He will be with His children and will help them. There's a poem that says, "I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know that He has given His word, which tells me prayer is always heard and will be answered, soon or late. So I pray and calmly wait. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the way I thought, but leave my prayers with Him alone, whose will is wiser than my own, assured that He will grant my quest or send some answer far more blessed. Christian prayer lets God be God. He's very good at